Hey, this is Andy for Birth to Cake for Breakfast, and I'm here with And You and I. How's it going, guys?
Very well, thank you.
Great. Really good.
Well, most of You and I. if I could just touch on, firstly, how you guys formed, because obviously you came from Blackfish. Don't want to touch on it too much, because I'm sure most people... I'm sure most people know already, but like, how did you guys form?
I suppose it was... After Blackfish ended, we did... We started to rehearse to do one final Blackfish show as a three-piece with some friends playing guitars and filling in. But prior to that, while we were rehearsing for that, we started writing a song just as we were messing about. And we were like, oh, fuck, actually, that's... Can I swear? Sorry.
Go for it. Swear all you want.
We thought, oh, yeah, that's a pretty cool song. And we've... Hey!
Hello!
We thought that's a pretty cool song. And we're like, oh, okay, well, so we'll start doing some stuff with it. And then next thing we knew... we thought, well, let's just carry on writing. And we wrote the EP. And
can we ask which song that was? Was it on?
It was Terrorback. It's the third one really? We played tonight. Yeah, we. It's for
it's
some reason.
It's called You're a Guy, originally, wasn't it?
It was originally called Yeah, You're a Guy. Because we were going to name every song in the EP after a country, but written in words. So You're a Guy was one.
Did we get much further than You're a Guy?
We had India, like I-N-D-E-A-R. India. Yeah. It became a bit of a. Yeah. Drawn out thing, trying to think of
the one thing that we wanted to escape with Andrew and I was the kind of tongue-in-cheek side of stuff that we had with Blackfish, which, you know, was, some things were a bit of a joke. We wanted to kind of lose that, so the whole idea of calling a song You're a Guy didn't fit the brief.
We nearly called the band Terrorback, didn't we?
Yeah,
that's why we called that song that, because it was an idea for a name we'd thought of with, and then in the end we settled on Andrew and I, which nobody can read.
Andrew and I.
Well, I believe, am I right, I think in iTunes had a problem with that?
Yeah, big time. They kept putting it up because a lot of internet programs doesn't register the ampersand as like a character.
Yeah.
So people were searching it and it wasn't coming up, and it was coming up as just UI. We were like, no, so we had to keep sending messages off going, still wrong, you need fixing. And eventually they sorted it. We said as well, because when we were Blackfish, people always used to go, oh, what's your band called? And you just go, it's called Blackfish, but there's no C, it's B-L-A-K. And we thought, that's such a stupid thing we've done by naming our band. We have to tell people how to spell it. And then we were like, right, if we're starting a new band, we're not going to make that mistake again. Call it And You and I. And then everyone would go, what's your band called? It's called And You and I, but it's spelt with an and, a U, an and an I. Oh, forget it. So we've done it all over again, basically. So.
What inspired And You and I?
It's a song by Yes. Called And You and I, but they write it as words. But we're just big Yes fans.
Approached it. Prog, yeah. Yes, yeah. So straight away you release Kill the Man That Shot That Man. What was the process behind that?
I think we just wanted to get something out, didn't we, as quick as possible to sort of show people that it was like we're still making music. Yeah. So we recorded down in
Lewis near Brighton. Yeah. With a guy that used to do our demos with Blackfish, and a guy called, what's his name, Jamie from,
he played keyboards in Tube Lord, he plays in Tall Ships now, is that right?
Yeah, Tall Ships.
Jamie Field.
Tall Ships, yeah.
So it was kind of co-produced by Nick Kinnish and Jamie Field, and yeah, it was good. We sat in it, we stopped over for, was it 2 weeks in a...
It was a week, but the room was got the same schematics as Studio 2 at Abbey Road. Have I got that right?
Yeah.
Am I thinking somewhere else?
No, yeah. It was their place, yeah.
It was great. And it was blistering hot. We just got... Because you could use the studio all night. We did the bass from like 8 o'clock in the evening until 2 in the morning. Just drinking and hanging out and smoking and stuff. It was good. It was a good working environment.
So, obviously, coming straight from Blackfish, what were the reactions to And You and I? Because, obviously, it's a completely different band, but... You know, obviously, I assume a lot of fans came from Blackfish.
Yeah. Well, we had the obvious kind of Andrew and I, ex-Blackfish, which we still get, probably.
Sure.
But which is fine, because, you know, it's not such a bad thing, is it? But, it was a nice switchover, but we never... I don't know, we never hit it as hard as we did with Blackfish ever, because we settled into jobs and stuff like that. And we never really wanted Andrew and I to be... on the road all the time, because we've just done it all. We're a bit sick of it, to be honest. So, for what we did, we were well chuffed through it, I think, weren't we?
Yeah, turned around.
The feedback we had, it was good.
I don't think we lost any fans as well. That was the one thing we were worried about, was that we might create this big divide where some people go, well, it's not as good as Blackfish, and other people go, oh, maybe I prefer it.
Thank you.
So there was...
Hello.
Rich from You and I.
Sorry. Just, it's like a police interview.
Richard Lee has entered the room.
We've been up to tonight.
Plugs in some girls' houses.
Oh, yeah. That's code for put some plugs in some people's houses. Just been doing a rock gig.
Yeah? How was that?
Yeah, it was all right, yeah.
Yeah? Oh. Good lad.
I've got your shortbread, by the way, man. It was a welcome gift.
Oh, no!
Oh, God. Dear.
I saved thought, it looked like you were flagging. So
I'll be honest, yeah, it almost did the trick, but I thought, I'll save that for later.
Odd. So you followed up the EP with Lightbearer.
Yeah.
What can you tell us about the experience behind that?
Well, we wanted to write an album, so we did.
Sweet.
But yeah,
that's the question.
And that's it.
We managed to record it with Chris Common, who did Blackfish album, which we did in Seattle, but he moved to Portugal, which made it all so much easier. So we went to Portugal for like 2.5 weeks, was it, or something, and recorded in an old EMI studio and then a kind of makeshift studio in his mum's basement.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was pretty tough, you know, like with the 40 degree weather and the pool and loads of beers.
Endless beers.
Nice food and... It was tough, man. Rough times.
Were you considering splitting because of this?
It got really tense where we were in the pool one day, relaxing, and I thought, I can't do this shit anymore.
No, it's it's an amazing place, and it's just owned by this bloke who just... Well, he was just around us smoking fags and just falling asleep all the time. And the place has got, like £20,000 microphones, hundreds of thousands of pounds worth of desks and equipment. And the roof's just fell in because it's leaking. He just doesn't give a shit.
I don't even know what gear they've got because they've got a Neve desk that's just on the floor.
Same shape, just without the stairs.
Built in the same era. It was built by the same people that did it.
There was a singer that was big in Portugal. I can't remember her name, but they practically built this studio for her to record.
She was a big EMI artist, and it was her studio to come
around. Fiona or something like that. But...
She was like Portugal's Frank Sinatra.
She got her.
There you go.
Sweet.
So yeah, and then we did the rest at Chris's parents' house that he had
a mansion on the seafront.
It was very relaxed, it was so chilled out
because it didn't feel like work. Like, I remember being on the plane home listening to like the rough mixes and stuff we had back, and I was like, when did we fucking do this? All I remember was going to the casino, going to the beach, going swimming.
The casino, Casino Royale, was based on
the very same,
the largest casino in Europe.
Yeah.
We went there, it was great.
I got sunstroke twice. So, yeah, just on the beach. 40,
just in the hotel.
Degrees, yes. And there's all these like Portuguese like bronzer people putting on sun cream. I was like, ah, forget that, mate. I'll be fine.
You're a dead man.
Everything was coming out of me from all places.
With both records, with both records, we've done really well at ending up in places that haven't been stress-free, haven't been stressful to work in. Like when we were in Luz, we were at the pub and we could record all day and all night, which is cool. And then in Portugal, we'd finish a song and be like, "Yeah, cool, that was great." Pool, so we'd have half an hour in the pool,
15 beers,
have some beers, have some food, and then go. Should we start again? But. Well, I'm already feeling this. Maybe we'll start again tomorrow. And that was—it's the best working environment.
Club in.
We did. It was a horrendous club.
And you and I clubbing.
We were stopping in a hostel, and I think we were normally hostels. You're just there for like a couple of nights. We were there for 2 weeks.
We were the longest stay.
They'd never had anybody stop there for that long. So
we were there for so long. We moved rooms 3 times.
Were you mates with the staff?
Weren't they friendly, really? No, we weren't mates
with them at all.
Portuguese.
Because we kept going out and coming back at like 3 a.m. every night. So there was just one guy sat watching DVDs on his laptop, just going, "Oh, for fuck's sake!" And then having to open the door for us.
I got someone kicked out of a hostel once.
Did you?
Yeah. Anyway,
shan't tell that story.
Me and Wiz went out. We had a big one. Because it was a great place. Is this relevant? I think, yeah, it's fine.
Absolutely,
bit of filler, but you know, it's fine. We went out, like, all the bars were open till like 2, and then there was a kind of this guy from Sunderland who had a bar that was open till four, five-ish.
The black cat.
And then there was another bar that was black open. Just for the rest of the evening.
Rocking shots. Where you're on the way in, you're handed a card. You get all your drinks on that and you settle the bill when you leave at the door. So you have no idea how much money you spent. So you just hand over this white card and like, Jesus Christ, I hope I haven't spent like, you know, 300
euros.
If
you lose your card, it costs you, is it? Like 250 euros
or something like that.
So you reach a bit where it's better off losing your card and it's like, I'll spend about 500 euros. Lose it, mate. Flush it.
It was really weird.
Because
when we went in there, it was obviously pitch black and it was a basement bar. Come back up and it was red hot sunlight. I saw someone with shopping bags. I was like, that's the most depressing thing I've ever seen.
It was 8 o'clock in the morning.
I haven't made to bed yet. Should we tell them what happened to you after?
Yeah, well, I was just going to tell them about went to the hospital, just got me down for a few hours.
Pissed himself.
I've gone up to that. Because it was so hot, I woke up and thought, fucking hell, it's really hot. Oh, it's so hot. There's no air conditioning, I'm sweaty, so sweaty. Sweat all over me. And I was like, oh, it's all yellow. It's salty.
I completely forgot that.
That was even more depressing.
It stinks like piss.
Getting all over. And then the guy in the hostel was just came in and was like, you know, you need to get out. The checkout's 11. You need to get out, mate. We need to do all the beds. I was like, do that one. Good times. But we managed to produce an album as well.
So Rich pissed himself.
Didn't you do that?
And you guys were going to clubs, and the album came out, of course, and it did pretty well.
Yeah, it got received well. Yeah.
How was the reception to that?
Yeah, from what I remember, it was pretty good review wise on that, weren't it?
Yeah, I think we got to. I suppose when there was so much going on with Blackfish and stuff, we were getting a bit sort of hung up about reviews and things saying something in a magazine or whatever. And it got to the point with Daniel and I, where as soon as we released the record, we were like, "Yes, we've released it," and then. The press were like, oh, with our press agent, or it was like, oh,
because we did everything ourselves. We didn't put it through a label. We sorted all the press out with Division, which were really good. Released it on our own made up label. Can you turn your phone in silent or something?
Buckley, I'm sorry, jeez.
So we had complete control because we had an idea of what we wanted the album to like be, like what kind of image we wanted, as if there was an image. Which was really nice, and it worked out thoroughly to how we planned it, didn't it? Yeah, guys. It did.
Nope.
Jesus.
Yes.
No, it did.
Yes, it was. Yes.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Don't think, mate.
I hate to ask, but a lot of people are asking, like on you know, like all the social media stuff, all that. Where do you guys go from here? Because obviously, you've not played in quite a while. What's the next step?
Well, we haven't really got anything as such booked soon, but we've got a lot of stuff in the pipeline. Well, not a lot of stuff. We've got some things
some
in the
things,
summer.
Yeah.
So we're not split up, but we're not going to be doing much for a while. So
we don't really get much. Because like we've all got other commitments and stuff now, so we don't really get much time to sort of get together and write. And when we do get together, we just end up just hanging out and having a few beers, and it's like it's more fun. That sounds bad. I do really like right. That's not what I meant.
We're really rubbish at interviews, aren't we? I think
we're very
to do
bad at interviews.
What I'm saying.
Like we, it's good when we get together. We also play together as. Our sideline in. No, I won't mention this. Actually,
I've heard of that. You played whose wedding was it?
It started. We played with Alan from Tangled Hair's wedding, just doing some covers, and then off the back of that, someone went, "Oh, would you play mine?" We were like, "Yeah, fine. Yeah, we'll learn some songs and do a full set." And then since then, it's just escalated, and now we do maybe one a month. Playing like,
so you're practically a wedding band now.
Pretty much.
Yeah.
How fucking sad does that sound? We played a fucking brilliant gig. In our hometown, and our next gig's at a fucking
get
school,
paid loads of money
school staff party.
Get paid loads of money, and you just get like loads of drinks and nice food, and it's just you have to, you know, you can just
weddings
enjoy somebody's lovely day.
Yeah.
And you don't know who the hell they are,
and weddings
you don't
are
know where you are.
So anyone that's listening, if you've got a wedding coming up...
Exactly.
Don't put that on you.
I'll be honest with you, that's the reason I'm interviewing you. I'm
about
for,
the wedding band.
Yeah, wedding bands.
Proper expensive. Really good.
Dead expensive.
Yeah, yeah. We'll do some annual nice songs if you want. Well.
You getting married?
Possibly, yeah. Why not? If you guys are playing... If you guys are playing...
It's the deal breaker.
Yeah, we'll send you the deposit.
He's going to ask you before he asks his girlfriend. Bob.
Absolutely. But before you guys go, so I had a question off one of...
He said upstairs, didn't he?
Yeah. Jim Lee's mates, yeah. Jim Lee, you guys know him quite well.
Yeah, my little bro.
Rich's little bro. So if you could go back in time and kill the baby Hitler, would you? And... alongside that, how would you do it?
Well, how would you do it assumes that we would.
Well, would you? I'm saying would you, and then how would you go about it?
Nah, I don't think I would.
Because bearing in mind, if you killed him, God knows what music standpoint we'd be in. But yeah, at the same time,
I've got a fascination with military history as well, and I wouldn't have that fascination if the wars hadn't happened.
Something else would have happened though, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if it weren't Hitler, it'd be someone else.
It's probably not a deep conversation.
Quite not as bad as like a Holocaust, maybe. I don't know.
Well, you never know. It could have been fucking worse, couldn't it?
The Babby Hitler.
The Babby Hitler.
They ain't gonna kill a baby.
Plus, how would you know? Have you never heard that there's a short story about a woman? This is true. There's a short story. I can't remember who wrote it, but it's a woman in a waiting room talking about that she's pregnant and she possibly wants an abortion, and the doctor's going, well, you've got to weigh up your options and stuff. And in the end, after the short story concludes that she doesn't want an abortion and she's going to keep the baby, and it's like, okay, we'll see you next time you come in for your checkup, Mrs. Hitler. And it's like, so it's Hitler's mom weighing up whether to kill it off or not. It didn't happen. It's not a true story.
That's not a true story. No. Okay.
Well, what kind of a story is that?
That's a great story. What a spin at the end.
I think to answer the question, me personally, I don't know. I think it's maybe, I'm going to sound a bit prolific now, probably important to just let history run its course, although it was fucking horrendous. And he was a bad lad. I think I was learned a lot from it.
Adolf Hitler, bad lad. The autobiography. Forget Mein Kampf. Yeah. Bad lad.
You know what? It's a show. I'll tell you what, if I could go back in time, I'd probably have a little chat with him and go...
As a baby?
We'll wait for him.
Sit him on your lap. 16.
Yeah, 16. But I'm like, don't worry about the art school thing, mate. Don't worry, just do your own... Just do your art. Don't worry about that. Don't get upset about it. But maybe just say, like, you've got some really good ideas.
Fuck hell.
But just maybe...
You've got some really good ideas.
Just maybe curb the world domination and the ethnic cleansing. Just curb that a little bit. Don't do that.
What bits were good?
He got unemployment to its
zero. No, but he didn't really.
He invented jobs.
But he built the autobahn.
It didn't need to be done.
But the autobahn's there. That's like, I'm not defending Hitler. I'm not on his side.
So it sounds like you're defending Hitler. All he did was invent jobs to boost the economy in short term. There's no way the Nazi Party could have been a long term thing.
Well, Tom, your repose. You heard it right here, and you and I support the Nazi Party.
Shit!
No, like you said.
He had no sustainable long-term plan. He had a short-term plan.
If we could have sat down and had like a workshop on...
With Adolf Hitler.
Let's have a workshop.
I'll be honest, this question wasn't on the list originally.
No, it shouldn't have been. This is terrifying. I'm finding out so much about my friends.
Pushed it.
So no, I wouldn't kill him as a baby, but I'd probably have a chat.
Have a little word
about his plans.
I'd kill him.
I'd say just yeah.
Well, we got to the bottom of this.
There you go.
Tune in next week,
lads. Yeah. I'd like to speak to you every week if I could about world topics. And you and I, thanks very much.
Thanks very much.
Cheers.